This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and we're joined today by Dr. Scott Engel, who is director of the National Institute for Food and Agriculture. Great to see you.
Oh, thank you. Glad to be with you today. Look forward to talking to you.
Let's start a little background about you. Obviously, you're director here, but you had a path to get here. Did it involve ag in the past?
Well, let me start and work backwards. I've spent the last couple years working for an NGO in Africa trying to teach some smallholder disadvantaged farmers how to grow more food. Prior to that, I was a dean of agriculture at the University of Georgia, Athens, Georgia. Before that, I was a faculty member and administrator at the University of Maryland, again in the College of Agriculture. But I got into this. I grew up in Baltimore City. My plan was to be a golf course superintendent. Loved golf. Golf turf management was taught in the College of Agriculture, so I started in that. Just gradually drifted over into the discipline of soil science, and the rest is my own history from there.
Do you get to golf at least from time to time?
No, I've stopped golfing because I've lost my ability to have a good swing or a decent putt.
Let's talk about now the Institute itself and an overview. For those who don't know anything about it, how do you describe what the Institute does?
Well, it's the primary extramural funding agency for agricultural research, teaching, and extension. So there are land-grant universities all over the country. In my case, the University of Maryland, University of Georgia. But every state has at least one. There are also what we call 1890 universities that are located in many of the southern states, and there are more recently the 1994 schools, which are the tribal colleges located mostly in the western part of the country. So there's about 112 of these universities all over the country, and NIFA is the primary funding mechanism for their agricultural research, teaching, and extension. So what we do is money that's been appropriated by Congress. We take that money, we listen to stakeholders, we listen to farmers and families and youth and anyone with an interest in agriculture, and we make sure that those resources that are appropriated by Congress then are used in the most effective and efficient way to solve problems that are out there that may be limiting agricultural productivity.
We talk about some of the areas. There are obviously many hot button topics, if you will, but three that come to mind: bioenergy, climate, and environment. And whether we're talking about inside ag or outside of ag, those seem to be three big ones.
Yeah, and we work in all of those, and extensively so. In fact, I would argue, and I don't have the data to back this up, but I think NIFA and the Department of Agriculture is probably the largest funder of agricultural research in the country, or excuse me, environmental research in the country. Awful lot of money goes into looking at that intersection between agriculture and the environment. That's one of the major focus for agriculture going forward, is how can we grow more food, how can we feed in a large population and a growing population, but on less land with less water and less impact on the environment. So that's where NIFA comes in. So we support a lot of research and teaching and extension in the environment and the climate change and on the climate, bioenergy, but all from an agricultural perspective. So let's take climate change, for example. We're not out there working on fuel standards for automobiles, but there are many intersections of climate change with the agricultural community. Carbon sequestration and soil, for example. How can we take carbon dioxide out of the air and lock it up in the soil so that those concentrations in the atmosphere start to go down? There are all kinds of things that we do in all three of these areas, but they all will have a agricultural focus to them.
And as we talk about that, do we keep the focus back on the farm and the farmer and the not just the role they play, but how they can do this effectively and stay financially fit?
Sure, and profitable. None of these technologies are going to work unless they're profitable. Farmers are smart. they understand that technologies, new ways of doing things, if they lower the profit margin on their farm, they're not going to adopt them, at least voluntarily. Sometimes they're forced to do it, but it's certainly not going to happen voluntarily. So a strong focus of what we do, and frankly a strong focus of Secretary Sonny Perdue, is on farm profitability. How can we do these things that are good for the environment, good for families, good for the climate, but do it in a way that will allow us to keep our farmers in business, which is making sure they can remain profitable.
You did mention feeding the world, and I think it's pretty obvious we have to do it on fewer acres. What areas can we drill down a little deeper in that area? And sustainability works into that as well.
Sure. That's I'll describe it in a little better detail. World population is growing. We've got to double 70%, maybe 100% more food by the year 2050. The number's not quite defined at this point, but we know we got to produce a whole lot more food. There'll probably be fewer acres of land to do that as human populations grow and we gobble up farmland for cities. Certainly be less water to do that in the future. And the public wants that done with less impact on the environment. That's quite a challenge to double food production with fewer inputs. One of the technologies that we're looking at now is called sustainable intensification. But how can we significantly increase yields, whether it's an animal or plant, with less impact on the environment? So it's going to require a lot of inputs and a lot of management and a lot of technology and things that we're just starting to think about now and just starting to implement on the farms. But the goal is not to cut down more rainforest, to have more acres of fields for crops or more animals on the planet. Rather, it is to take that land that we have already in production and double or triple the yields in that land. And that's really the approach that nationally we are taking. And frankly, in my past job working internationally in Africa, that's the approach that most of the rest of the world is taking. How can we intensify production on existing areas of land?
Easy for us to think about our own backyard here. But you mentioned that happening worldwide and helping others. What's one of the biggest challenges that you saw from working with farmers in other countries?
Well, it was lack of knowledge. Depends where you are, too. So it depends on the location. I work primarily in Africa. Lack of knowledge, lack of capacity, lack of input. So, for instance, a little bit of fertilizer in Africa would double or triple, sometimes quadruple yields. So very, very easy, not sophisticated technology, obviously, but for a few inputs, relatively low cost, you could maybe quadruple yields. That was transformative for those farmers because they now went from subsistence farmers who were just living to produce enough food to stay alive to now they actually have something to sell at the end of the season, bringing a little bit of capital, a little bit of money so they can send their children to school or better health care or better diet. So it was transformative for them. Now, in the United States, different situation. Frankly, there are some areas, I'll use the fertilizer example again, there's some areas of the United States where we're using too much fertilizer. That fertilizer bleeds off into the water system, gets into the Gulf of Mexico, causes hypoxia. I used to work in the Chesapeake Bay region. There are a lot of Chesapeake Bay nutrient problems there. So there we have too many nutrients. So it was the focus of the technology there was to find more sophisticated fertilizers that would be used much more efficiently and allow less of those nutrients to end up in bodies of water, for example.
Really what we're talking about is education, and maybe the final question here for you. The 2018 Farm Bill had a big focus on youth programs. I know you mentioned Secretary Perdue has a soft place in his heart for youth programs. How does that fit into what you're doing?
How do you change farmers' perceptions? How do you educate them, especially older farmers who have been doing something for a long time? one of the things that we have learned, not just in agriculture, but I think in society in general, is that often if you change the children, they can teach their parents or they can teach the grandparents how to do things differently. And that's not just in here in the United States. That's globally. We found that in Africa, extensively in Asia. I worked quite a bit in Bangladesh, where it was always train the youth to change the system. So in the United States, we have a phenomenal youth development program in agriculture called 4-H. It is the largest youth development program in the world, but it does some amazing work. It is agriculturally based, but what we really do is we teach students and we teach young people how to be better people, how to become more engaged in their communities, how to become leaders of the future. And at the same time, we are teaching them new agricultural technologies that they can then take back to their parents and grandparents to change some of their farming philosophies and farming systems. So it's been one of the most powerful ways of changing our country over the last 100 years or so. And 4-H is just one of those gifts that we have as a country, and it's been transformative.
So good to visit with you. Thank you for your time. Thank you for the work that you've done and the work that you still have in front of you. We wish you the best.
Thank you. It's fun work. It's good work. We've got a lot of people to feed, and the United States is going to play a major role in doing that.
Dr. Scott Engel, Director of the National Institute for Food and Agriculture at USDA. I'm Tony St. James. It's the Agribusiness Report.